All right, y'all, get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is one of your hosts, David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark Inc., promoter, event planner, all-around good guy, and hanging out with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. Just wanted to say, what's up, sir?
David, everything is good. How are you?
All right. Short and sweet. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Dave, you had just threw me off. You messed up my bio by saying, how are you?
I was trying to mess you up. So I got you. But everything, go ahead.
I just gotta say, all of them are faithful listeners. They already know that, you know, I'm their favorite good guy. So they already know. Because Dave, I try to make it easy for them. I say the same thing every time, so they probably already know what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody loved Robin too, and then he disappeared.
Right.
And, you know, it was just Batman. I'm just letting you know. So, yeah. But anyway. What's going on? Anything?
Yeah, man. Everything's good. Just some busy weekends. We survived NASCAR at the campground, and other than that, trying to get back on my triathlon training plan. And
I know. Waiting for the Olympics, the next Olympics, guys. You go in Los Angeles. Leonard's going to be doing. They're going to bring the triathlon over there to the Olympics, and Leonard's going to be competing.
Yeah. Well, Dave, so I know you're not really into sports, but you may not have heard the triathlon news that's going around for the Olympics. The water that they were planning to do the triathlon swim in, and swim is the very first portion, has been contaminated.
I did see that. I saw that a couple of days ago.
And they are not sure if they will be able to, I guess, clear it up by the time of the Olympics.
Yeah, but didn't they say they were working on an alternative place for the swimming part? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that may be true. I haven't heard that. But I thought I did see that.
Yes.
If they cannot, then there's an event in triathlon called the duathlon. So instead of swim, bike, run, This would probably be a run, bike, run event, which of course favors. I mean, if you're a decent to a strong swimmer, then that may give you a disadvantage because of taking out maybe your specialty. So that's one thing. So I guess it would be good if they found another place to do the swim. But of course, in triathlon back to back, they would have to be able to do the swim, bike, and run all in the same place. So.
And they couldn't use the pool then, right? Because
well, if it was a normal competition, they probably could and everything based on time. But since the Olympics, you know, everybody wants to go head to head, and a swimming pool probably just wouldn't be big enough.
Right. Okay. Well, let's hope they get that straightened out. I mean, isn't this the second time in the Olympics that something happened with the water or something like that? They couldn't go in it or something. It seemed like there was something else that happened a few Olympics back. Remember the water was contaminated and they couldn't. They were worried about doing the canoeing or
anything. Okay.
Yeah, that was in what was it? Brazil or no? In
Rio.
Rio.
Or somewhere else. Okay.
Rio de Janeiro. That's where it was. Yeah. Yeah. And the water was contaminated. Remember they had to clean all that stuff out of the water? Do you remember that?
Not really. Yeah. But I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, well, hopefully they get that straightened out. I was watching some of the, I'm getting hyped for the track and field already because I watched the Penn relays the other day. They had that on TV. And I also saw Dakari Richardson lost in the 200 the other day at the Diamond Classic. You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I wasn't that, I mean, because you know, the 200, I feel like she's developing in the two, I mean, the 100 is her event, but you know, I feel like she's still developing in the 200. So I give her a
Yeah,
little bit of grace.
that girl, from Britain, she that filled up though, man. I'm saying, well, okay, all right. Well, you know, you can tell the track is starting to heat up a little bit though. I love track and field, man. So let's just hope that you know, that she gets herself in shape by the time the Olympic trials comes up. Other than that, I guess spring has finally hit us, right?
Yeah, these are you know what? I was waiting all year for good weather, and now I kind of miss that cool, windy breeze.
Well, I know, what is it? Friday and Saturday is supposed to be a little cooler, like in the 60s or something like that, bro. Maybe you might have it. So we will see. We will see. All right. Well, I guess we got a few things to talk about tonight, and actually, we're planning to have a guest join us tonight as well. Should we tell him? Well, I guess that we can talk to the guest. So we're going to be joined by event promoter extraordinaire, Mr. Samuel Bailey. A lot of you guys who listen, who are in this area, probably know Sam Bailey from a lot of his events with the Men of Distinction and other events that he's done. But he's going to be joining us shortly. So we will be bringing him on and doing an interview with him. And he's going to be talking about some of the things he's got coming up, and one particular event that he's doing in conjunction with Leonard and the DNR Campground. So we'll let him tell you all about that when he comes on, okay? But it might be something you guys want to definitely mark on your calendar, because it's going to be a nice day and definitely something you want to check out. So, all right. So, while we're waiting on him to join us, we're going to go ahead and get started with our first story. Okay. And this story is about, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Steven Jackson, and for those who don't know Steven Jackson, he's a ex-NBA basketball player, professional basketball player. He has a podcast now that's pretty popular podcast that he does with a couple other basketball players, ex-basketball players. But Steven Jackson, and this story was big about a week ago, blasted Gayle King for demeaning Dawn Staley in an interview about South Carolina's championship. Of course, you know, college basketball has been hot. Women's college basketball has been hot. Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks have just won the championship a few weeks back, and this story is about that. It says basketball fans stopped everywhere, stopped everything that they were doing to watch Dawn Staley and her South Carolina Gamecocks women team make history with an undefeated season and NCAA championship. Not only did the lady, I like how they put this, not only did the Lady Cox win, but they also beat,
No pun intended.
no pun intended, but they also beat the biggest and the most talked about playing in college hoops, men or women, in the form of Miss Caitlin Clark from Iowa University. The sports media spent significantly more time talking about Clark and her quest to avenge last season's championship loss to Angel Reese and the ladies of LSU. According to Daily Mail, during a recent interview about her big win, Dawn Staley spoke to Gayle King, and a comment that Gayle King made rubbed Steven Jackson the wrong way. And not just Steven Jackson, believe me, a lot of people caught this. We were all cheering for Iowa, of course, and Caitlin Clark, said King, and you broke everybody's heart. And she smiled and she just kind of laughed about it. And Dawn just kind of gave her a look. Steven Jackson, one half of the All the Smoke podcast, recently took to social media to share some harsh words for Oprah's friend. He said, "I don't give a F whose friend she is. You don't do nothing for nobody." Hold on for a minute. "But you cannot demean Dawn Staley like that." He went on to say, "Who is we? Who is we? All the black people I know was rooting for Dawn Staley. We're all fans of Caitlin Clark, but the way you put it, that was trash. King is no stranger to sports controversy. When Kobe Bryant passed away, she triggered a number of people, including one Snoop Dogg, when she mentioned Bryant's alleged sexual assault case during an obituary-esque TV segment. What say you? Do you feel like Gayle King disrespected Dawn Staley with her presumptuous comment? How we were all rooting for Caitlin Clark?" Now, I did see the segment when it happened. And Gayle King, it's not the first time. She has been accused of being anti-black in the past. Like, her colleagues were mortified when she said it, because they were saying, "No, that's not, I was rooting for South Carolina." You heard of Nate Burleson, who's black, said, "I was rooting for South Carolina." He said it would have been nice to see Caitlin, win because of everything that she's accomplished this year. But he said, "But that, I like the way," he said, "I like the way it came out." How do you say to a championship winning coach, "We wish the other team won"? What are your thoughts on that? That was that disrespectful, or was that Gayle King being Gayle King?
I think it was both. I think, and I mean, at the end of the day, everybody can have their preferences. And I mean, we don't know why Gayle King wanted that team to win. But like I heard someone say a couple of weeks ago, Gayle and Oprah are not for the black community. So, I feel like, and I mean, not to even play the black card, but they should have been rooting for Dawn Staley. And if they were not, then they should have just kind of kept that to them. Like, that was a comment that didn't even need to be made. It's almost like, black people who are voting for Trump, they don't always have to tell us, like, okay, if you're going to vote for him, just do it. But, you don't have to go around here making yourself look bad.
Right. I agree. And that definitely was not a good look on her behalf. Now, and like you just said, I mean, we've been hearing about Oprah and Gayle for years. And, as popular as they are now, and let me throw a little caveat in here. I mean, now we don't know what anybody does behind the scenes. Even though their personas show what they show, we don't know what's really, what their philanthropy is, as far as giving money and donations to different charities and so forth. Because they said that about Michael Jordan for years too. Michael Jordan was also one of those people. But then there, recently there was like a little documentary on that kind of showed this guy gives to a lot of different black causes. He just prefers not to get any notoriety for it,
Right.
And so he's been doing more than what people thought he was doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know necessarily what Oprah and Gayle do behind the scenes, but I mean, even though it doesn't appear there's a lot going on behind the scenes, when you make comments like this, you're interviewing a coach. You might as well brought Iowa's team on, and Iowa's coach. It was just like what happened last year when Angel Reese and LSU won the championship, and Jill Biden wanted to extend an invitation to not only
Right.
LSU but to Iowa too,
Right.
and they lost.
Exactly.
You know, now that, you know, and that would have been the ultimate slap in the face. We can look at it all we want as far as, you know, South Carolina basically is all 100% black. I mean, you know, with the exception of a couple of white players on the team. Iowa, complete opposite. You know, basically 100% white with a couple of black players on the team. So, you know, it always comes down to black or white. I mean, black and white, you know, and we have to, and we hate to say it, you know, after all these years, but that's what it comes to. It's just like right now, the big controversy is, remember we were talking about the salary for Caitlin, what she's going to be making coming into the league, under 100,000. Her first contract is going to be for $338,000 for 3 years. She's going to be making under $100,000. No, I think that was for four. Was it 4 years? She's going to be making, her first year salary is going to be $76,000. And everybody, of course, is mortified because of that. Now, keep in mind, her contract is no different than Aaliyah Boston, who played for South Carolina, was the number one pick last year, or anybody prior to her. They all took that money. Everybody was saying, well, it's a travesty. They should give Caitlin more money because she's going to put people in the stands. That's not, she's going to put people in the stands, but so does everybody else that's playing
right.
the game. So now Nike is giving her, you see that contract that Nike was offering her, which was 10, it was 28 million for 10 years in
oh,
her
wow.
own sneaker. In her own
now,
sneaker.
Now, did she turn that down?
No, I think she finally said yes to it.
Okay.
I think
yeah,
she
cause
finally
I seen
said yes.
Something where it talked about her.
He was a little hesitant at first because people were saying it's not enough money. She's still being, because they said that that deal offered to a man would have been triple the money. But, you know, I mean, I, you know, but this is, but that deal wasn't offered to Aaliyah Boston. It wasn't offered to Asia Wilson, who's been in the league. Asia Wilson is a two-time MVP, two-time champion, and they didn't offer that kind of money to her. She's the face of the league right now, but she's black.
Right.
You know, so, but I'm, you know, when we have these type of situations and, you know, what we call black on black crime, because basically that's what that was, black on black crime, when Gail just totally slapped Dawn Staley in the face by asking that question, you know, so, or saying what she said. So we're going to keep an eye on this because everybody, you know, of course, they're trying to make everything that Caitlin does, we hear her name every, you know, every day just about. So we're going to pay attention to what happens as far as how she's reported and covered, as opposed to majority of the black stars that have already been playing the game for a long time already. Caitlin hasn't played one game yet, and she's getting all this press and all this money. Her jersey sold out within hours. Her jersey number.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, so we'll see what happens. We definitely will. So,
okay. Dave, just so you know, we have our special guest waiting in the waiting room.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's go ahead and bring him in and say hi to our guest.
Yep. All right. Give me 1 second. Of course, my thing is moving a little slow.
Oh, you meant the computer. You mean your
yeah,
mind.
Computer.
Right.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right, okay.
Yep. Sam, are you with us? Okay, so his is connecting the audio.
Okay.
Sam, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you?
All is well.
Good, good, good. All right, David, you want to do the soft
You
intro?
what we're gonna do?
See.
Let's go ahead and read his bio so we can let people know who he is. You got that in front of you?
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about who this guest of ours is. So in case people don't know, I don't know who wouldn't know who he is. You know, I mean, well,
Right.
people in this area anyway.
Wait,
So, but
Dave, you know, it's not even this area. We're talking about New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware, Maryland, DC, Virginia, and probably South Carolina too, North
I
Carolina,
know.
South Carolina.
And we might well throw California, New Mexico, you know, but anyway, but go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about who we have on today.
Yep. So today our guest is Sam Bailey of Wilmington Gentleman of Distinction. He was born and raised on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. He DJed from the age of 13 to 17 in dance halls around the Accomack. He's gonna have to correct me later, in Northampton counties. He arrived in Delaware at the age of 16, attending Caesar Rodney High School and Delaware State College slash University. He has held senior level management positions with three major corporations prior to retirement. He has always loved music and to dance. He enjoys stories of, excuse me, of his grandmother dressing up and traveling to Harlem, New York to party. He said, "I was a dancing showstopper." Oh, and Dave, we're going to get some replays of the dancing showstopper. But he said he was a dancing showstopper as a teen, traveling to different dance spots with his dad, and he could also run the rack shooting pool. After a brief stop in Denton, Maryland, and Dover, Delaware, he relocated to Philadelphia, where nightlife was seven nights of the week. It was a wonderful adventure navigating the music and dance scenes, as oldies were always a mainstay, along with great Saturday afternoon jazz jam sessions. Amazingly, many of the folks that he befriended in the early 80s had been some of his biggest supporters over the years, even today. In the late 80s, a group of them started bar hopping in Wilmington, Delaware on Fridays after work. Eventually, that led to a Thanksgiving dinner party hosted by the men from the Friday group. A year later, they decided to do their first event at the Billie Holiday Club. They called their group the Friday Club. Wilmington's Gentleman of Distinction was born in 1991. Keeping it upscale, they held parties at the Continental Ballroom, Crystal Ballroom, Christina River Club, and the DoubleTree. In 2004, they merged with the Philadelphia entertainment group called the Inner Circle until August of 2014, and then they reemerged as a solo group on January 2nd, 2016, with their first event at the Waterfall. And actually, I think I might have been at that event. With the exception of one event at the Clarion in Newcastle and one event at the DoubleTree downtown, all of their events have been at the Waterfall, which is in the Claymont area of Delaware, since 2016, with most being the entire weekend. Their first outdoor concert is June 8th, 2024, at GNR Campground. And without further ado, Sam, we would like to welcome you to the show. How are you today?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm all is welcome, my brothers.
All right.
Yep. And so normally, and I Dave will do it too. Normally, when we have a guest that come on that we know, we'll usually tell how we met them. And to be honest, Sam, I can't remember how I met you. I know I've known you since at least about 2016, 2017, but I'm not exactly sure how we came in contact.
I think it goes back further than that.
Okay.
It goes back to when you were first doing DelawareBlack.com, and
Okay.
or maybe it wasn't if when you were first doing it, but it was early 2000s, and
Oh, wow. Okay.
you would post my events, and I
Okay.
would you were living in Newcastle over by Walmart.
Yep. Oh, yep. The condo. Okay. So that was probably 2016. Cause I,
Was it?
yeah. So
Okay.
I moved there in 2016. Or I like to say I escaped to there. I escaped to there, but yeah.
So you're the fish that got away.
Well, no. I'm the fish that survived.
Yeah,
I'll put it like
he survived. Yeah, he got off the
that.
hook. That's what
But so Sam, of course, we want to welcome you to the show. Now, reading your bio, this is very interesting. So you were DJing in dance halls from the age of 13 to 17. Can you kind of tell us a little about how that kind of developed?
Well, my father liked to frequent the dance spots on the Eastern Shore of Virginia in Accomack and Northampton County. And fortunately for me, he had a good friend that was a DJ. He also loved to dance and have a good time. So he asked my father if he thought I'd be interested at that time in spinning records for him, because that's what they called it, you know. Like you had two turntables on a stand, and you had a bunch of 45s, and you put the records on and played them. And fortunate enough for me, you know, I couldn't say no, because you know, at that tender age, you know, I'm saying, boy, I can go out with the adults and let them, they'll dance to my music that I'm playing. And it was a big thrill for me, and to get paid to do it, you know. So there was times that we had gigs, you know, 4 times a week.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I was the rich kid in school. I had plenty of money to do my own school shopping, you know, year round. You know, it was lucrative for me at the time.
Okay. And then so also according to your bio, so when I guess in the late 80s when you
Yes,
were
I can expand on that for you.
okay.
That was when the banking industry had was in full bloom in Wilmington. Now, a bunch of the folks in the banking industry would meet at the I think it was the holiday. It used to be called the Holiday Inn at the time, where the DoubleTree is now. And we would meet every Friday after work and talk over just, you know, world affairs, what was going on locally, and sort of debate each other as to, you know, how we stood on these issues. And it was really led by a lady named Daisy Jackson, who was a educator and a member of Bethel AME. Daisy was instrumental in starting the Daisy, no, she was instrumental in starting a tutor program at Bethel. And unfortunately, Daisy passed away on the opening night at Smokey's on Market Street.
Oh, wow.
Had a massive aneurysm and passed away. And they named the program at Bethel in her honor. So as we did events, you know, we would party on Saturday and go to Bethel on Sunday and give Bethel the money for the tour program.
Gotcha. Now, how did it come along that, I guess, going out, you said, you know what? Let's form a group and let's start doing events. Like how did that talk come around? And then who were, I guess, how many and who were some of those founding members along
Okay.
with yourself?
That came about, you know, All of the men in the group decided to cook a Thanksgiving dinner and invite each one of us invited two or three of my best female friends to attend.
Okay.
And it went over so big. I think we spent about we spent about $600-$700 over the weekend because it went so good the first day that we cooked another Thanksgiving dinner the second day. And we just partied the whole weekend and had a house full of friends all weekend. So the next year came about and we're looking at each other saying, you know, we spent about $800 last year out of our pockets. How can we subsidize this? And somebody said, well, why don't we, Billie Holiday Room needs some folks. Why don't we have a little gig there? You know, throw a DJ in and charge, you know, $5 at the door. And it was a really successful night. You know, I think we netted over $700 charging
Oh, wow.
$5. And we were running to Walt's buying 50 wings at a time. And but it was a glorious time. But all of that was organized between seven of us. There was Kermit Wilson, Jerry Logan, John Barnes, Lionel Henson, George Evans, Eugene Person, and myself. And
Okay.
so we just kept it going until you know probably early 2000s we lost two members that you know they just wasn't interested in doing it anymore. And but the five of us kept it going. And now we're down to three. And
Okay.
as
And
usual,
I'm assuming that's yourself, George,
and
and
Eugene Person.
okay, understood.
And yeah, it's just the three of us. And you know, they it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it. I've been a people person all my life. And I just love to see people, you know, dress up and have a good time. You know, life is stressful.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
if I can provide an outlet for a few hours where they can just, you know, feel like kings and queens and you know, in a great environment, then so be it.
Right. So for anyone who's not familiar with, you know, your the Wilmington Gentlemen of Distinction events, if somebody was coming to one of your events, what could they expect?
Well, first I want to say that they should expect professionalism. I am a gung-ho and you just gotta provide excellence to people. You know, our people deserve that. And and that's what we do. You know, we do upscale. You know, you dress up, you come out to an excellent facility, you eat well, at least once, if not twice, and you have a variety of entertainment. You know, we do oldies in one room, we do a live band and old school hip hop in another room, and in the third room. We do line dancing and karaoke. Now, at the when we do our all white, which is coming up on August 17th, at Waterfalls, we do indoor outdoor for the all white, and back in the wedding area outside, we do comedy and we have a DJ back there. Out on the patio when you first come outside, we have karaoke, and then we have everything that I mentioned at first in the other rooms. You know, live band, old school hip hop, karaoke, line dance, and the oldies room.
Okay. Now, this is probably one of the biggest questions because I really think what you have done and are currently doing is amazing because, and I'm sure Dave can tell you the same. And I'm sure you've probably witnessed numerous in the, and I'll just say in the event promotion industry, there are people who come and go. There are some people who, probably, stuck around too long. And then there's probably some people who did a great job, but just weren't able to, sustain over the years. Now, I know you talked about professionalism. You talked about quality. You talked about consistency. But can you go a little deeper? Like, why do you think Wilmington Gentlemen of Distinction can still be, in this current day and age as relevant as events where, a lot of people who are, maybe better venues, better marketing, better social media, different people are using a whole lot of different technology. Why do you think your organization has been able to stand the test of time?
Well, I think one of the things, is given given an event that people, not only can come to for one night, but they can come on Friday, and we do the entire weekend. Friday night we do a little meet and greet, and we primarily started doing that because we had so many people coming from so far distances, and they wanted to come. They didn't want to come on Saturday and have to get dressed and go right to the venue. So we gave them something to do on Friday. So now, if they're coming from North Carolina, Ohio, Connecticut, New York, they drive here on Friday, and they can relax, check into the hotel, relax a couple hours, and then come down and meet people that they've met, at other events that we've done. It's like a mini reunion, meet and greet on Friday night. And that's the iceberg, always the icebreaker, for the week. And then, of course, Saturday, tax-free shopping in Delaware is a big thing to people coming from out of town. And then, of course, Saturday night's the big night. And then Sunday morning, we send them home with a jazz breakfast. We have Tony Smith and his group and has been doing our jazz breakfast, for years now. And that gets back to the consistency that we talked about earlier. My entertainment team never changes unless somebody have a big gig that they can't get out of. My entertainment team never changes. AJ Rivers is my oldest DJ. He's been there since probably 2020. Before he became my oldest DJ, he was my line dance DJ. But so he's been with us for a while. But Daryl Taylor decided to retire from DJing, and do karaoke. So AJ moved into his spot. We have Doc B, who is local. Doc is in our hip hop room, old school hip hop, all clean stuff. We don't do no profanity music at our events. We're respectful, and that's the way it will be, always be. But then over in the line dance and karaoke room, we have a team of Bernadette Burnett, who has traveled the world teaching line dance. She's probably one of the most renowned line dance instructors on in the line dance community. She's been on the team ever since we started back up in 2016, and also the DJ in there, Selena And they came on board after AJ was elevated to the oldest room. So people know that these people are going to be there at all times. And
Right.
even so, with the live band, since 2016, I've only had two bands play for me. And there was both of them are out of Philly. The group that's playing for me now, I mean, they bring, well, both of them bring 10 pieces, the horn section and everything that goes with it. And I mean, they have great vocalists, and they give the people their money's worth. And that's what I always want people to feel when they come to
Or
one of my events, is that, it's a little more than, well, a lot more than going to listen to one DJ and paying $25 or $30, and some
Right.
people even charging $40 for one DJ and food when it run out. And you may pay double that to come to my event. However, we're going to feed you twice, and we're not going to run out of food.
Right.
As long as you can put food on a plate and eat it, we're going to feed you. And that's a promise.
Understood. All right, so now for the news I'm most excited about. So June 8th, 2024, Delaware Black Music Fest. Can you tell us about this event?
Okay, well, it's all there. I'm told that I have too much time on my hand to think. But for some people, that's a good bad thing, but for me, that's a good thing. And I've always been wanting to do an outdoor concert, and it's tough at times because I mean, there's just so much that go into it, and during the summer, there's just so much going on. But I stepped out on faith, and I prayed on it, and the message said, "Sam, you've never failed, and you won't fail now." So I stepped out, and I visited the facility. I love what I've seen, and I used to go there back in the day, back in the 70s and late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, Stan, we uncovered some video of you in there, so.
And never in my wildest dream would I have thought of doing something like we're doing on June 8th. And I'm just excited because I'm able to pull the whole state of Delaware together, all three counties. As far as entertainment, we have entertainment from all three counties in the state of Delaware, and we have interest, a lot of interest, and people are buying tickets, and I'm just elated that people believe in our brand,
Right.
and in the name itself. We've been around since 1991 with the name, and we're still the ones that's doing it. We're just thankful that we're able to provide an outlet to our people.
Right.
And not only our local people, but people in the region. We've sold tickets already in down in the DMV, in the
Wow.
DC area. We've sold tickets, people coming out of New York, and of course all of the surrounding states here, Maryland, Pennsylvania, the Eastern Shore of Maryland, even the Eastern Shore of Virginia, where I grew up, got some folks coming up. So it's a blessing that people, that we've been consistent over the years, and
Right.
people trust us enough to spend their hard-earned dollars and time with us, because you can spend your time in many other places, but when you choose us, I feel blessed that I'm thought of in that way.
Right. All right. And now my last question before, I know Dave has some questions as well. So this one I asked on behalf of Dave Coker.
Uh-oh.
Are
Now you're gonna ask questions on behalf of me. Okay, but go ahead.
you looking for any male singers?
Oh Lord, here we
Because I don't know if you
go.
know, but Dave is a singer. So I didn't know if you were looking for any opening
He's always
talent
trying to get
or
me caught up in his mess. That's what he, I tell
I will talk to Tommy and see if he can set in on a song
you.
with best kept soul.
I kind of got a little bit of connection with them. I wouldn't do it because Leonard. Well, I don't know. Leonard, you gonna pay me if I get up there and sing?
Are you talking about pay you not to sing or pay you to sing?
No. Anyway, you finish asking questions.
But while we're on it, talking about Dave singing, let me just go down the list of the
Oh,
intercom.
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Opening up is the combined choir from Calvary Baptist Church in Dover. They're going to kick everything off at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 8th. Following them will be Best Kept Soul. Following Best Kept Soul will be a DJ out of Seaford, Delaware, DJ Dave Milliton, out of Seaford, Delaware. Following Dave will be our main man, DJ Tim Dog. Following Tim Dog, we will have Tony Smith and friends with Michelle Beckham performing jazz and blues. Following them will be Steve Hood. He calls himself DJ in Control out of the Dover area. Steve was all state basketball player back in the day.
I know Steve Hood. I
Yeah.
play basketball too, so I know
Okay. But Steve is a fantastic DJ, still a fine young man, and I'm just proud that I paved the way at Caesar Rodney for him to be the
Hood.
man that he is. But and following Steve is my oldest DJ, AJ the DJ, and he'll take us home. That's
That's a great
the
day. That's
lineup.
definitely a great day. That's a great day.
So where does Dave Coker fit in there? I'm still trying
I'll
to
go on stage when everybody at the end, where everybody's all tired out. That's
Yeah,
when I'll sound real good. I'll sound real good
close it
at that
out.
time.
We'll
Yeah,
give
there you
Dave the 6 o'clock
go.
spot when the sound man turn all the mics off.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. That works for me anyway. So, as long as I get paid. Well, folks, I you heard the lineup. You heard everything that Sam just said. It's going to be an awesome day. The first of its kind, especially for Leonard and his wife down there at the campground. This will lead to other events down there like this. Leonard and I are always talking about doing different things down there. I did an event down there last year myself, and we want to make this place relevant. A lot of people who have been going there for years and using the facilities have been using it. But we want to get more visibility out of people that look like us. And so because of that, when we have events like this, and you have and especially an event put on by Sam Bailey, you definitely want to show up and you definitely want to have a good time, So, and I can promise you, if Sam Bailey's putting on an event, you're going to have a good time. But I just had a few questions I want to ask. Now, going back to what Leonard said in the beginning about when I first met you, I remember meeting you at one of your events. Gosh, that was a long time. You know what? You mentioned the Holiday Inn. I think I was at that event. Because that was right after it went from the Radisson to the Holiday Inn, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I think I was at that event. I do. I think I was there.
That is correct.
When you do events and folks, I'm gonna say, because I do, I'm an event planner and so forth, not to the magnitude that this gentleman is, but I've done quite a few events myself and so forth. And you always try to find a model that you try to copy, not necessarily to the T, but try to model yourself after and trying to do things in a certain way. When you hear Mr. Bailey talk about, class personified, quality, making sure people enjoy themselves. This is not, it's a grown folk type thing, and it's not going to be something that, you're not going to see, you know what you're going to see every time you go to one of his events. I know when I started doing events, I started looking at the model that you had laid out. And I also came up during a time, I don't know if you remember the guys from East Coast Productions back in the day. But they were my mentors when I was coming up, and I knew, twins, and they were doing events with Mimi Brown and all of them back in the day, and so that's what got me interested in doing things. So when you do these events and you look at your demographics and so forth, when you're an event promoter, you one of the things you want to make sure is that everybody has a good time. That's the main thing. It's getting people to come out and have a good time. Of course, you don't want to take losses. You want to try
No,
to be, you definitely don't want to take
but
losses.
there's times
So,
that's unavoidable.
yeah, that's
You
right.
gotta
Yeah.
be
And that's where I'm
prepared
getting
for
ready to
that.
go. That's where I'm getting ready to go with this, because when you have one of those moments when that happens, what do you say to yourself, or what do you do in order to make sure that the next event is going to be successful?
Let me take a step back. I think I said earlier that, when people spend their hard-earned money to come, you got to give them something for their money. And I had the privilege from 2004 to 2014 to work with a group out of Philadelphia, the Inner Circle. And they had everything, I mean, pretty much perfect. And I modeled what we do after them. However, we were doing three rooms of entertainment back in the 90s. And at the same time, they were doing three rooms of entertainment. And of course, it went up to four and five rooms, but we were doing something on the same level. But the one thing that you gotta know is your customer base, and you gotta provide what they're looking for. If you got people that's coming from Baltimore and DC, they don't bop. Philly has the Philly bop. These people in DC and Northern Virginia, they hand dance. So the people that's providing the music for me, we got to be on the same page that he knows that he's got to cater to those folks as well as the Philly folks. There's got to be balance.
Right.
Otherwise, if DC and Virginia don't hear their music, they're not coming back. Because
Yeah, that's
first of
true.
all, they have paid probably $20 in tolls just to get here.
Right.
They have paid $150 to $180 for a hotel room. And they had to eat while they were here, put gas in their car. It becomes an expensive weekend if I'm not providing anything that you're gonna enjoy doing.
Right. And
And
Sam,
so,
real quick, I was just going to say, it sounds like the people who live in the Delaware area are really some of the luckiest people because this entertainment's in their backyard.
it, absolutely, absolutely. It is right here for them. And it's been a joy providing entertainment right here in Delaware that people can that keep people from going out of town for their
Right.
entertainment.
Yeah,
Because back in the day, it was so quick to say, okay, I'm in Delaware. It's nothing going on here. I'm going to Philly. I'm going to Jersey. I'm going to Baltimore. And now, they don't have to make that ride.
right. That's true.
And as we get older, I have a older crowd, but my crowd probably starts at 45 years old and goes up to 90. But the older they get, the less they want to travel. But three times a year, it's not a bad thing. And they
Right.
compass that in their lifestyle. They know there's an event coming for the springtime. They know that there's an event coming for the summer, and then one coming pre-New Year's Eve. And the only time I do New Year's Eve is when New Year's Eve actually fall right on December 31st. Otherwise, I do a pre-New Year's Eve so people can be home with their families, because older folks want to spend the new year with the grandkids and just with family coming, with the new year coming in. So,
Well, one thing I will say, because in listening to you talk, and for those of people that are listening as well, one thing you will hear, well, a couple things you're going to hear in what Sam is saying. One thing is consistency. Another thing is that he has a formula that works, and people know that when they go to his events, because I've been to quite a few of them myself, I know what to expect when I go to one of these events. And people, it used to be, when you look at the ticket prices and everything, because Delaware, and as the event promoter myself, people are funny about paying money for certain events. They don't want, you might charge 50, 40 or $50 for an event, and you can promise them the world, and they'll hem and haw about the 40 or $50. But, and believe me, I know. But one of your events, because of the formula that you have, the consistency that you have, you put your price tag out there and people show up because they know what they're going to get. And that's a good thing to have. That's a good formula to have, and that makes all the difference in the world. And so for that, definitely, that's when people start looking for it. Because I tell you, it's so funny, and Leonard, I know you can attest to this too. When you guys do one of those three events that you just talked about during the year, you always say, "Oh, the Sam's got an event coming up on such and such a day. You go on." You hear that all the time. That's all you hear. And it may be months away, but people are already planning. Oh, I had one lady tell me one time, we were talking about one of your events. I think it was the pre-New Year's event, and they said, "I already started saving money to pay for the ticket."
If that happens, I've had people. Do you have a payment plan? And
yeah, I know.
Something like you know, because everybody.
But they were planning to be there, and that was the key. That was the plan. They were going to be there, regardless of what it took. That makes all the difference in the world.
And during the event, you know, you always got, for me, you know, it's all about details. You know, the delivering what I delivering the promise. You know, I put out a flyer with all this information on it, and now the night of, it's my responsibility to deliver, and that's where a lot of event planners and promoters don't get it. You know, I tell people all the time, if you're in this business for the long haul, you're gonna win some, you're gonna lose more. You're gonna start not. You're gonna lose more than you're gonna win. And
that's true.
But you can't take away from your event and charge an astronomical price because you didn't make no money the last time.
Right.
And that's where consistency come in. I keep saying that word over and over again. And that's what a lot of young folks don't, they don't get it. You got to put it out there and mean what you say and deliver the promise.
Yeah, that was. It's funny that you just said what you just said, because that was my next question. My next question was going to be, what advice do you have for a young promoter starting out and doing these type? I know I've talked to a couple young guys, and you know they all have these grandiose ideals about doing things, you know, and they want to, they want to do the bottles and, you know, the bottle service and all the craziness that they do at these things. And, you know, and sometimes it works, you know, but there's a certain crowd that comes along with that type
Absolutely.
Of party, you know?
Absolutely.
So, and I'm like you, you know, my parties, when I do an event, usually, you know, the crowd is 40 and over, you know, and, you know, and I prefer that. I'm not looking to cater to the youngins, as I call them. I'm not looking to cater to them, but we have some that like to hang out with
Absolutely.
The older folks, and they come out and they have a great time listening to the old school music and all of that stuff. So, and that's always a plus when you have that type of thing. But if you had to give, you had a young man walk up to you and say, I want to be a promoter, but I want to do it the way that you did it. What would you tell them?
Be ready to dedicate a lot of time and resources. Love what you do. If you're going to do it, you got to love it. And if you love it, you're going to take ownership and do what's right. And like I said before, now once you water, if you water it down, it's not gonna be sustainable long term. You've just got to be, you know, give a bang for the buck, be consistent, and believe in what you do. You know, tell your story, regardless of whether it's good or bad. Tell your story. And put good people around you. Know who can help you, because there's a lot of old heads out here like me that can sit down with young folks, and not that that we don't do it, but you know, I can offer a lot of wisdom. People come to me wanting to do an event, and in fact, there's two events going on within the next couple of weeks where you know, people have come to me and said, how can I do this? I just want to get started with something. Went and found them a place, and they found their own DJ, and they're going to give it a try. And that's what life is all about, giving a hand up to someone who has aspirations and dreams, and to help that come through for them.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. All right. Well, that was my last question, Lynn. You got anything else you want to ask?
I think that is it. So Sam, I just know, and of course, I always shoot ideas and ask questions. So Black Music Fest, and I'm trying to think of some of the questions I get that may stop you from getting calls that don't need to be calls. Are you doing vendors? And you said no tickets at the door, right? So all tickets pre-purchased
That's fine.
potentially. And now what about vendors? What will they?
I've been doing events since 1991. And I've always I've through the years I've been to events where people have vendors, and it becomes a shopping marketplace, and I have nothing against that. But at my events, I do not have vendors, and I don't have vendors because I want people to take in what they paid for. They paid to come and have a great time listening to music, dancing to music, meeting new people. That's so important to me. That people meet new people, make new friends, go on vacations together, and those kind of things. And when you I know everybody got to make a living, but vendors have to make a living too. But I think it's more important that they do that than go shopping. And that's just my personal opinion. Now for the Music Fest, we could very well have vendors. However, this is the first time that we're doing it, and I don't want overkill. When you have vendors, we at this point, everything looks great on paper. It really does. And Leonard, I've been down there at least, by 10 times since October. And over the next 30 days, I'll probably be there another 10 times because I just need to put everything that I can in my mind to make this the best that it can be for our people. It's got my name all over it. It's got Wilmington's Gentleman of Distinction, Sambi Entertainment. That's our brand, and I got to protect the brand. And in order to protect the brand, I have to make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. That's my job to make sure that that happens. I say that to say maybe next year, vendors, let's ride it out, ride this one out. And we'll know where we are, when this one's over, and then we can plan for the next one. And if it looked like vendors can be at the event, gladly. We do have food vendors. We will have food trucks there, and Leonard, you're opening up the facilities there to sell hot dogs and hamburgers, and we're not selling any alcohol. But people, if you that want to bring a bottle of wine or their favorite drink, they're welcome to bring it. But we will not sell any alcohol because, number one, I want it to be a family friendly event. Kids are welcome to come of all ages. The only thing that I ask, when people buy a ticket for their kid is that if the kid is under 12 years old, that wherever that kid go, an adult got to be with them.
Right.
Because we don't know we live in a not so we live in a cruel world anymore. And the person that's smiling beside you, you just don't know. So, but yeah, vendors and kids are kids are welcome, but vendors next year, and we'll do everything we can. And I've probably had 20 people call me. Can I be a vendor? And I take their name and number, and I just it's always good to tell the truth.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Not to sugarcoat anything and say, well, maybe I'll let you know. No, we're not gonna have vendors. I just let it be known up front, And that's one thing about being in this business. People are not always truthful, but the flip side of that is that people can see through you if you're not truthful, and they won't, and you'll end up with no support. And we've seen, Dave, I know you've seen that
I've
many
seen it many times. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, unfortunately, it does happen, and you have to learn a lot in reference to that. People can look you right in your face and give you the straightest look in the world, but then do something completely opposite.
Do
Yeah,
something
so.
completely different,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, and that's the only thing about, you got to get a feel for the person or the people that you're working with and trying to, and then, if when your name's all over it, and you said it earlier, when your name's all over it, of course, you want it to be everything that you present it to be. And if it's something other than that, you're going to hear about it. And
Absolutely.
believe me, Leonard, tell you myself, I've been dealing, me and Leonard been partners for a long time. And, Leonard, to tell you, if I put my name on something, I'm very particular about that whole experience. Whether it fails or whether it's very successful, I don't want, I want to know what people are saying. I want to know what people think and all of that type of thing. And, and I don't want people being dishonest about the brand or whatever I'm doing. So,
Absolutely.
I feel you on that. Why don't you do us a favor and give us all your contact information for people. You can give your social media pages. You can give the information for people to purchase tickets. Why don't you take a moment to do all of that right
Okay.
now?
Well, first of all, if anybody needs any information, they can call 302 743-3417, and any questions or concerns that they have will be addressed at that number. Again, that is 302-743-3417. Now, as far as social media pages, I have a page on Facebook, Samuel Bailey. They're welcome to check out the information there. And just click on events near the top of the page, and it'll show them the event that we're doing. Also, there's two other pages, Wilmington's Gentleman of Distinction page on Facebook, as well as Sam B Entertainment. And basically, all of the information is shared with all three pages at all times, when I post updates. We also have a website, Wilmington's Gents, and .com. That is our website, and that has all of the detailed information on it as well. We have several ways where people can buy tickets. On Facebook, we have posts that have people in different states that have tickets, which are in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, of course, Delaware, Maryland, and nobody's in Virginia. No. But other outlets to buy tickets is we do have Eventbrite set up where people can purchase online. We also have Cash App and Zelle. And if you need the Cash App and Zelle information, just again call the hotline 302-743-3417, and we'll get that information right over to you.
All right. And we'll make sure to, put that information out there as well. We definitely want to thank you for taking the time to join us. So we wish you were hanging out with us for the rest of the show, but I know
No, I got to
you got stuff
run.
to, I know you got to get out there and do your thing. I know,
Yeah,
I understand. But we want to both thank you for taking the time to, for
thank you very
joining us.
much.
And it's been awesome. And thank you for doing what you do for our state and the surrounding states. And just keep up the good work, man. And we look forward to June 8th. We
But
can't
you know one
wait.
thing, let me say one last thing. Back in the 60s, and I don't know when it started, but there was a black-owned beach in Sussex County called Rosedale Beach. And at Rosedale used to get, the Chitlin' Circuit, the Fats Domino's, the James Browns, the Lord Price. Everybody came through Rosedale. And when Rosedale went away, there was no venue for mass entertainment outside. So, and that's one of the things that crossed my mind when I first went to the campground again back in October, was that here is something that can be a history making venue for our people here in Delaware, the same way Rosedale Beach was back in the day. And that's now that thought was really provoked me to pursue this event there. Because I just felt that it was something that we Delawareans needed, and it encompassed, the whole 100 miles that Delaware stretched. So with that, I want to thank the two of you for having me on here to tell my story. I really appreciate it. And again, to those who are listening, if you need any information at all, feel free to contact me, Samuel Bailey, 302-743-3417.
Okay.
Well,
All right.
sounds good. Thank you
Sounds
for
good.
coming
Thank you
on.
again, sir. Yeah, we appreciate it. Believe me, we do.
Oh,
All right.
all
All
right.
right.
Good night.
Thank you.
All right, see you later, Sam.
All
Good
right.
night.
Okay. Well, that was the man, the myth, the legend right there. Mr. Samuel Bailey. And you guys heard his contact information, and we'll be posting it. Of course, you'll be able to find his information and everything for the big event coming up, and we hope to see everybody there. We got a couple more stories we want to get through before the we're done with the show. Let me see. This next story, Stephen A. Smith clapped back at the NAACP after Trump remarks. I'm gonna read a little bit of this. It says, the NAACP called out Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith has been on he's had some issues over the last over the last couple of months. He's had a lot of comments out there, you know. So, we got some feedback in the background there.
I think Sam is
Sam is still eating and hit the delete button. Can you mute him? Can you mute him?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right. And so I'm going to read a little bit of the story. The NAACP called out Stephen A. Smith on social media after his comments about Donald Trump's legal troubles. We reported earlier that when Smith appeared recently on Fox News, he came to Trump's defense following the ex-president's assertion that Black Americans empathize with him because of his legal troubles. Relatable? Show of hands. Anyone in your Black family have 88 felony charges pending? Filed for bankruptcy 6 times? Made an attempt to overthrow a presidential election in our democracy and still have the ability to fall asleep in court and dream of being POTUS? The NAACP said in a response, I don't have any of my family members like that. What about you?
None that I claim.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking. Smith clapped back at the NAACP on social media. This is absolutely positively said that you at NAACP would misrepresent my comments like this. I was asked what Blacks who support Trump are thinking as to why they support him. I answered that question, but said, but you're entitled. Good luck. Maybe that will beat Trump since little else seems to be working, which was my overall point. We shall see, he wrote. So, Stephen A. Smith really got blasted by a bunch of his colleagues and everything because, you know, he made his comments saying that Trump, you know, he does have Black supporters because some Blacks do relate with him. Now, whether he meant to say because of his legal trouble or not, that's the way it came out.
Right.
You know? And we reported about this not too long ago. I mean, you know, how Trump was up there talking about his mugshot and how people can relate to him because he has a mugshot. And, you know, most Black people have mugshots. I remember he said that. What you think? What's your thoughts on this?
So, I don't know. You know, it's kind of weird. So, they've kind of said, I know there are going to be a lot of people voting for Trump, a lot of Black people, right. And they may or may not admit to it. But I almost feel like people who support Trump, I'm trying to think of how I can say this politically correctly. Even if they benefit from his presidency, I think you can't ignore who he is and what his motives are. So it's kind of like, and I mean, I'm going to make a wild comparison. Let's say, you know, Adolf Hitler, right? There's some people who probably benefited under his reign as whatever they called him. and Germany, there are probably people who financially benefited, maybe educationally or, you know, whatever, economically. But when you look at him as a person and his views and maybe his moral character and his corruptness, you know, you can't, like, is it selfish of us to overlook, you know, that just because we are financially gaining? So long story short, so when I hear people talk about I'm voting for Trump and I'm doing all this, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, you want to make money, you know, get more money, you know, better economic status, but you can't overlook all the stuff he's like. Trump is a criminal. You know what I mean? Like, he's a criminal in the White House.
That's so, what's so crazy. That's That's what's so crazy is that part right there. There you
Yeah.
go. That
So,
part
long
right
story
there.
short, I just look at it like, okay, these are people overlooking morality for their own individual gain.
But what's so crazy, if the roles were reversed and this was a black candidate, do you think that black
Hell no.
candidate would even get to this point to even have a shot at the presidency with all of that that I just read that's going on in Trump's background?
Ask Herschel Walker how he doing.
Yeah, I know. Have you heard his name since the election?
No, he
Not
fell off
really.
the
No.
he fell
Yeah.
so far off the radar quickly.
You know why? Because Trump said to him, "You didn't do what I needed you to do, so I don't have no use for you now."
Right.
That's what happened. So, it's really sad that we are for the ones that are voting for him, and some people really have really good reasons as to why they want to vote for Trump or they're supporting him. Good to them, I should say. Okay. And it's a shame because we're going to have a lot. He's going to get a lot of black votes. He really is.
Yeah. He may, as we said, he may get the most black votes any Republican presidential candidate has ever got. And I think it's a combination of two things. Black people voting for him and black people not voting at all. Because
There you go.
if a black person does not vote at all, then that vote someone else gave to Trump has a higher percentage.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And you won't even have to try to stuff the ballot box because it'll be there already.
Right.
So, people, we got to wake up. We got to pay attention. And we can't let this kind of stuff go along. Stephen A. Smith is one of the most visible people in sports. He has his podcast. He does a lot of social commentary, and he has something to say about everything. We can't let people like this, regardless of how he meant it, corrupt the way that we're thinking when it comes to this election. This election is going to be a very important election because we can't let what it looks like could happen, happen. We can't let it happen. And we got, I know we came out in droves for the last election. People are not as gung ho this time around as far as President Biden is concerned. But we got to do enough to make sure that we don't make a big mistake. We definitely do. So that's all I got to say. And we got to stop the crazy thinking. And stop giving credence to this man. I mean, we gotta stop. We really do. That's all I'm gonna say there. I'm gonna leave it right there. Okay. Our last story is something I came across. Did you see this story, Leonard,
No,
about these?
I was just now trying to Google it
Yeah,
to,
pull up the video.
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, hold on. I was gonna say a
Go
little
ahead.
joke. No, I was gonna say a joke, but I better let you intro it,
You...
or nobody will
Okay.
know what or nobody know what I'm talking about.
So there was this hilarious viral video that went viral. Matter of fact, I kind of came across it on, I think, Instagram before I even saw the article, and I just kind of chuckled about it. So this man got arrested by a cop who just so happens to be his twin brother. The video is kind of funny because you can see the twin brother take the cop taking
A
the twin
Philadelphia
brother
man is
out.
going viral after getting a.
Okay. Are you going to play it?
Yeah, can yep, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. But listen to this guy.
After getting arrested by his twin brother. That's right. Apparently, the station got the phone call that a man needed to be arrested.
And when the police officer showed up, it was actually his own brother. But the weirdest part about it is that the man that got arrested wasn't even mad about it. Instead, he was shouting, saying how happy he truly was. And the brother, not giving a single masa. Instead, he actually felt honored that he was arresting his own twin brother.
It's like a food, y'all.
Yeah, what y'all are hearing here is the scene where you see the cop bringing the brother out, and they're both laughing. You see him laughing? The brother, mm-hmm. you know, the guy that got arrested is laughing, and they're pumping up the crowd, and the brother just starts cracking up as well. You know,
this is what people are saying.
How would you like to be sent to arrest somebody?
Free food. And another guy said, one thing we know for sure is that he's probably going to get out tomorrow morning. But Chad, let me know and drop a comment. What would you?
Yeah, I mean, that's
crazy, right?
Very crazy.
So what do you think you would do if you know you're doing something wrong, cops get called, and the person that they send out to get you is your brother? And I mean, I'm not, in this case, I'm not going to say twin, but just your brother, you know?
I mean, I'm probably embarrassed. I'm probably hoping he'll have me get out by tomorrow morning too, you know.
that had to be crazy. Now, but then if their parents are alive, or, you know, one of their parents is alive, it's probably not a good thing for them, because they're sitting there saying, what in the world is going on here?
Right.
You know.
They're probably very embarrassed.
Yeah, it's an embarrassing situation, yeah. But I saw that, and I just started cracking up. I said, is this real? Because I thought it was one of those, you know, you know, one of those, you know, how they do the little skits and everything. But no, apparently it was real, and it definitely did happen. And, you know, hopefully that's a learning lesson for the brother that got arrested, because that could have been so different if another cop showed up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because we've seen some horror stories about, you know, other cops showing up.
Right.
You know, so I'm just going to say it that way, other cops. So, but I just thought it was a cute story, and I just wanted to make mention. If you guys get a chance to go on, take a look at the video, it should pop right up about the twin brother being arrested by his brother that's a cop. Okay. All right. So we're going to go into Leonard's favorite part of the show, which is Dave's Corner.
And Dave, it's so funny. You, even after I hear it 100 times, I always chuckle after you say that. and I'm not exactly sure why.
Because he's giddy, folks. That's what it is. He's giddy because he just loves this part of the show. So he tries to hide it, but I know the truth. Anyway, so we have Dave's Corner. And today's question from Dave's Corner, which is our philosophical question of the day, all right, is... you're on trial. Okay. I guess I kind of got this inspiration from, Trump trial. One of his 40 trials that he's on. You're on trial for a murder you did not commit. You get to pick a famous person to do your opening statement. Who would that be? Another famous person to argue the case. Who would that be? And a final famous person to do the closing statement that will that would tie everything together and set you free. Who would that be?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start with the opening statement.
Do they have to be, can they be Instagram, can they be social media famous?
It's got to be somebody famous, somebody, you know, that everybody would know, you know, that type of thing. And I'll even let you pick somebody that's no longer here if you need to do that.
All right. Can I play it?
Uh-oh, here we go. All right, go ahead.
If you think I'm here to play around with y'all, God damn it, oh no!
All right, Mr. O'Neill, please stop using swearing.
Okay. Do you recognize that meme?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Go ahead and fill everybody in on it.
Yeah. For anybody who didn't hear, I'm just going to play it again, and then I'll...
Because if you think I'm here to play around with y'all, God damn it, I'm not.
All right, Mr. O'Neill, please.
All right, so I really don't remember who he was or what the case, but long story short, there was a defendant who chose to represent himself in court. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that was an opening argument or closing statement, but.
But this is good. This is the guy you want to do your opening.
Yep. Because Dave, if you think we're here to play with you, gosh darn it, we're not. Okay.
Okay. All right. And all right. Now, who are you going to have argue your case?
I'm going to see if you recognize this person. Are you ready?
Good.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. let me begin by thanking Harris Wofford.
So I'll make, you know, he's gonna thank everybody in the courtroom.
Got the former POTUS to argue your case for you, huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave, who is better than Barack Obama?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you got Mr. O'Neill doing the opening.
Mm-hmm.
You got Barack Obama doing your argument of the case.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So who's going to bring it home for you? Who's going to get you free?
You go to Nigeria, which is, if not the most corrupt nation in Africa, and it is, it could be the most corrupt nation in the world, Minister Farrakhan.
Oh, now, Mr. Wallace.
It is the most corrupt nation that I have ever covered. I've been there 25 years ago, and I've been there as recently as last year.
Fine.
Okay, and this is where my defense starts, the closing argument.
So what? 35 years old, that's what that nation is. Now here's America, 226 years old. You love democracy, but there in Africa, you're trying to force these people into a system of government that you just have accepted 30 years ago. Black folk got the right to vote. You're not in any moral position to tell anybody how corrupt they are. You should be quiet.
Yep. And that's going to be the final statement to you should be quiet.
Wait, who was that? I recognize the voice. Who was that?
Oh, it was Louis Farrakhan.
Okay. I thought, okay. Yeah, I thought Farrakhan was. I didn't think he was talking at first. Yeah. Okay.
Well, sorry. So he was being interviewed by somebody.
Right.
Somebody
That's right. He was being interviewed. Okay. So that's why I didn't think it was him at first. Okay. Okay. All right. So, So you think you walk away free?
Well, Dave, you didn't say if you were walking away free. You just said, "Who would I pick?"
I did. I said, "Look," I said. The last part is that last person would tie everything together and set you free. Yeah. So Farrakhan gonna set you free?
Well, I mean the truth.
To set you free. Okay. All right. Oh Lord. Okay. You gonna walk out of there as a Muslim. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Well, here's my guy. Okay.
Okay. Well, hold on. Dave, of course, my screen just.
Of course.
Dave, if you were on trial for a murder you did not commit and you had to pick a famous person to do your opening statement, another famous person to argue the case, and a final famous person to do the closing statement that will tie everything together and set your blood. set you free, who would it be? I'm sorry, who would they be?
All right. My opening statement is going to be Barack's better half. Okay. I'm going to have Michelle Obama open.
Oh, okay.
For me, okay? Because I know she's going to get everybody's attention. She's going to make sure that she draws everybody in for my next person that's going to take over, which is going to argue my case. So we're going to start with Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You got Obama. I got Obama. So, okay. Right. All right. My second person, if it don't fit, we must acquit.
Okay.
This is Johnny Cochran. Now, Johnny going to be up there long-winded. He's going to run his mouth, but he's going to get it done. You know, he's going to make everybody sit there in the jewelry box be like, hey, I didn't think about that. Okay, all right. And he's going to have OJ's gloves with him, too. I'm going to try them on.
Oh,
you know? Okay. So Johnny Cochran would be my next person.
Okay.
To argue my case. To bring it all home, got to have Brother Al Sharpton to
Al
bring it
Sharpton.
All home.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to bring. And I'll go get up there if he don't tip over because, you know, his head's big. We're going to have Al stand up there. And Al's going to just get up there and just – he's going to hit you over the head with his words. And he's going to say, we got to let Brother Dave go because I'm Al Sharpton and you got to listen to me. That's what he's going to say. But Al's going to be my guy that's going to say, you must let him go. And him and Michelle and Johnny are going to walk out the courtroom with our hands up in the air. Victory, victory,
right.
Victory. That's what we're going to do. So that's my group. And that's what that's what I'm sticking with right there.
Okay.
I think I got a better chance to be free than you do, though. I think I got a better chance to be
possibly,
free than you do.
Possibly.
Yeah, there you go. You can't argue my lineup. You can't argue my lineup there. So, I mean, you got Barack, though. Barack is going to smooth charm him. You know, they're going to say, well, it is Barack. You know, that's what they're going to do. So.
Everybody loves Barack.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. You guys, please let us know who your lawyers would be or who you would pick to get you out of jail so you can go home to your family, you know. So if you got your choices, we'd be glad to hear what you have to say about that, okay? And that brings us to the end of our show. Make sure you definitely check out the site for I know Leonard has it on his page. You go to Sam Bailey's page, like he said. You know, we definitely want everyone to come out to this event. It is going to be one of the big events of the summer. Okay. We look forward to making sure to see everybody down there. Anything you want to add before we go?
Nope, just, you know, same old, same old. Hope everyone has a great week, great weekend. See y'all next week.
Sure. All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Join us next week for another edition of News and Trends with your host, Dave and Lynn.